They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
A multi-billion-dollar bailout.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Several of the top bankers on Wall Street were busy working over the weekend. They're trying to create a plan to bail out troubled bond insurer Ambac Financial. Ambac could get $3 billion to help keep its pristine credit rating. CNBC broke news of the discussions late Friday. There could be an announcement as early as today. The story on Ambac sparked a rally in Asian stock markets overnight. Japan's Nikkei was up 3%. Same story across Europe. The major markets are each up about 2%. The results of a new survey in the UK were released this morning. British business people rated the top corporate brands. Guess who's number one? Would you be surprised if I said Google, followed closely by Microsoft? Stephen Beard has more from London.
The survey is designed to identify the brands with the best reputation and which have the biggest impact on British business. Coming top is quite an achievement for Google. It pushed the state-owned broadcaster, the BBC, out of the number one slot. Beating Microsoft into second place must be gratifying too. Stephen Cheliotis of the Superbrands consultancy, which carried out the survey.
It's no fault of Microsoft, really. I don't think they've done anything wrong this year that's made them fall below Google, but I think Google just simply is riding on the crest of a wave and is in everyone's consciousness at the moment.
One brand name in the top 10 is on the face of it rather surprising. The oil giant BP is ranked number 3. Its reputation in Britain apparently remains intact. All the damage was done in the US with the Texas City refinery fire and the oil leaks in Alaska. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Over the weekend, video game maker Electronic Arts made public its $2 billion offer to buy rival Take-Two. Take-Two's board already told EA to take a hike. Maybe Take-Two shareholders will have a different take. The New York Times reports EA wants Take-Two before it releases the fourth installment of Grand Theft Auto. That game is widely expected to be the top-selling title of 2008.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the American Public Transportation Association, working to help reduce greenhouse gases with 10 billion transit trips per year at publictransportation.org. By Shriners Hospitals for Children, providing treatment for orthopedic, burn, and spinal cord injuries at no cost to the families. More at shrinersforkids.org. And by LendingTree, where you can choose up to 4 customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win.
New York hasn't escaped the mortgage crisis unscathed. Parts of the city are experiencing rates of default and foreclosure as high as any in the country. The government's not helping much, so the Catholic Church is stepping in. Parishes are adding Sunday school lessons in mortgage finance to their weekly masses. Jill Barchet reports.
The Catholic Diocese of Brooklyn started holding its new housing crisis workshops yesterday. Monsignor Alfred Lopinto is the vicar for human services.
Between Brooklyn and Queens, we're anticipating in excess of 10,000 possible foreclosures before this year is out. We're very concerned about that because of the impact it has not only on the homeowner, but on the homeowner's family and on the community at large.
Priests won't deliver this sermon. Lopinto's brought in outside housing experts. They'll teach parishioners how to modify their mortgages before the foreclosure notices arrive.
The idea is to use the churches and making it as convenient as possible by having them right during the Sunday services.
That followed complaints by church officials that their neighborhoods could revert to the urban blight of the 1980s. In New York, I'm Jill Barchet from Marketplace.
Next week, the Morning Report will be live from Cairo, Egypt. Marketplace's Scott Jagow will be your host. We'll be looking at economic issues in the Mideast on this and other Marketplace programs. And what better way to get in the mood than with a little music? This weekend in Brooklyn, artists from around the world will begin a month-long festival of Arab music. It's a subject most Americans probably know little about, but some determined Arab musicians are hoping to change that. Caitlin Carroll has more.
I played this track by Turbo Tabla, or Kareem Nagy as he's known offstage, for a few shoppers at the mall to get their reaction.
It's kind of relaxing. I like that instrumental stuff a lot.
It's a different kind of melody.
Too many blah, 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 blah.
I wouldn't buy it. I like rock and roll.
So I asked ethnomusicology student Ben Harbert, what's the problem?
I mean, the hard thing is, I think, with Arab music and people opening up their ears is to so many Westerners, it sounds out of tune.
I mean, it's like listening to bebop for the first time. You wonder, like, where's the melody?
Small but growing audiences do hear it and do get it. The challenge now is crossing into the mainstream. Kareem Nagy wants to break into that mainstream crowd by mixing modern electronic music with traditional Arab percussion. He makes from $400 to $1,000 per performance, enough to make it full-time. But to build his audience, he needs to be more than just a musician.
It's not enough for me to just know how to play my instrument anymore. I need to know about marketing and financing and product presentations so that I don't just, you know, disappear into the bargain bin.
Bashar Barazi is one of a handful of Arab music distributors in the U.S. He's also launching a dance tour this spring called A Dream of Arabia. He hopes it will do for Arab music what Riverdance did for Irish folk.
Strong arms, please. Strong arms. Keep them up, lifted, up.
In the back room of a Middle Eastern dress shop, Barazi coaches a dancer through her steps. He says this tour will help raise the curtain on the Arab music market.
What helps in that is that I'm an American, so, you know, I almost am a translator. I think I have this position of I'm translating from one culture to the next, and I am sitting right in the middle, and happily so.
The American audience will decide if that middle is mainstream enough. In Los Angeles, I'm Caitlin Carroll for Marketplace.
For a preview of our coverage from Cairo next week, head to our website. That's marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.